It's a Call Your Shot Friday on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, Nate Dogg here. In the Dog Bowl, in Berea. Yeah, I'm back. I was
notorious.
I was on the road for a while.
It's so good that you're back.
It's so weird to now be in a studio after functioning in showrooms for the last 2 weeks. I mean, showrooms were it was great. I mean, it was a blast to be with all our Liberty friends, and we got people making faces at us and such in the studio.
That's right out of the Carly McCord playbook.
It really is. That was a Carly move.
That was a Carly McCord
move. Jackie picked up on. So anyway, that threw me off. But anyway, it is nice to be back. But it was great to do the tour of all five Liberty Ford dealerships. Liberty Ford's been a great partner of the show, and it's nice to get out and hang out with the staff, the respective staffs of all of those dealerships. They appreciate it, and people came out and engaged with us. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to make a deal with you right now. So next year, we're going to do this again next year.
Yeah,
it's already plotted out, and you and I are going together. I mean, I'm not doing them alone anymore. We got to make a rule right now. You're coming with me.
We'll do what we can. We got to see you. You know, reason I haven't been going is because I got the CBS show.
I know. Well, I'm going to take over the negotiations and work that out for you.
You're going to put that in the contract.
I'm going to put that in the deal. It'll make you whole. I'm not hurting you at all because I got to cover my boy and then cover your back. And
that's right.
So. All right. Hey, Mike on the cell wants to join us. Mike in cell, Ohio. No, Mike on the cell. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you? Thank you very much.
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Got a couple comments if I could. The first comment is, there was someone that called last week that was complaining about your show and said it was a horrible show.
Yeah.
And it should be taken off the radio. And I could just tell you that I listen to your show every day going to work, and I am just so happy of your new time slot. And what I like so much about your show, and especially you two gentlemen, is that you don't really have rose-colored glasses, that you basically say it like it is. And when we play well, you give them credit. And when things aren't happening well and we have breakdowns and meltdowns like we've had in our defense at the end of these last few games here, I mean, you call them out. A few minutes ago, you're calling out the offensive line. I love that. I'd like to say very much, though, I think if there's anybody that really should get Coach of the Year for our team, it has to be Norv Turner.
I agree.
And the reason why is when you really look at it and all the different quarterback changes we've had, all the different running back changes, just the overall offensive personnel change we've had, the suspension of Gordon the first two games, he is being a one-sided offense without a running game, I mean, it's pretty obvious that Norv has done a great job as an offensive coordinator for us,
right,
which we've expected. But I really feel since being at that Baltimore game and having such a great success at that Baltimore game, I think our defenses, if anything, regressed a little bit. And we have two or three quarters where our defense plays enormous, and then we have this big meltdown and we give up this big play.
Yeah.
I have one question for Vic.
Yes,
and that is, I know you were with Buffalo for so many years, and one of my favorite players in the NFL was Jim Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Can you reflect a little bit about Jim Kelly and the charisma that he had and those four Super Bowls that they went to, and when will the Browns have somebody like that? I'd really appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Mike, thank you for the call. I'll save that. Nate wants to jump in on Norv, and I will too. Let's do the Browns point first, but then I'll tie it in with Kelly. Go ahead.
Two things. To me, you have Norv Turner doing a job with basically one guy on this offense in a skill position that I think other teams in the NFL would want to have. I think Jordan Cameron is making the case, and I think a lot of that has to do with Norv and his development. I'd like to see him continue to improve. I thought we saw him take a very positive step last week after a midseason lull. But really, Josh Gordon is the guy that would be a starter on any team in the National Football League, and that's really it. And the fact that he's been able to do that is incredible, and it shouldn't surprise you. Last year, he did it with Denario Alexander coming right off the street in San Diego and produced a very prolific offense. So Norv Turner, I agree, a big, big tip of the cap to him. To me, the breakdowns with this defense have been in the pass defense. As I've gone back to, in the first five games of the season, this was a pass defense that had given up two passing touchdowns total in the last 8 games. They have given up multiple passing touchdowns in every single one of those games, including 3 now in the last 3 minutes of the last 2 games, which have been the difference. So it's a pass defense that can play brilliantly at times, but still is having too many, I would say, critical breakdowns in the to close out the game. And part of that is on the offense, because when you have an offense that can run the football late in the fourth quarter, you can do what you wanted to do and milk the clock a little bit more. And the Browns don't have that ability, so it does put a little stress on the defense. But it's just a team that right now is still on the wrong side of a couple plays, and that's the difference between them being 6-7 and sitting on a 2-game winning streak right now and being 4-9.
My thoughts on North Turner. He has done his job with one of his arms tied behind his back for pretty much the whole season. He's had to work with far too many changes at quarterback than any coordinator should ever have to work with. And he's overcome that, I think, in more ways than he hasn't. And I think it's been very impressive. He has not allowed himself, there's great frustration that coaches have. He's not allowed himself to get so frustrated to the point where in his play calling or in his preparation for a game, he has kind of held it against the guy who's in there. He's tried to stay as true to his plan as he can, knowing full well that each guy has something different about him in the way he delivers the ball. This is a challenge for his receivers, too, asking them to run certain routes or designing a game plan that has that involved. Josh Gordon talked about this with me the other day, that it would be so much easier if you had the one guy. Each guy throws a different ball. Brian Hoyer is very different from Jason Campbell, very different from Brandon Whedon. And that is something to overcome. So as a coordinator to do that, plaudits to him. No running game is another element that he has overcome. And I think, again, to his credit, he's not abandoned the run. He's tried very hard to put some level of balance to play calling so you can sell some play action, so you can give the defense a little something to think about. But that's almost impossible to do when no one respects your running game. And he's also dealt with an offensive line that hasn't always done its best, not only in terms of running the football, but a line that has given up sacks, that has given up pressure, that has made it harder on these quarterbacks. And again, this factors into your thinking as a coach. So Norv Turner, I think, has overcome the most and done an amazing job. With regard to the defense, I agree with what Mike's point was, that you've seen a regression, you've seen some drop down, and it's true, the offense has not made it the easiest, but look, this is supposed to be a defense that stands on its own 2 feet. This is a defense that long ago we felt would have to do it pretty much without the help of much help from the offensive side.
Sure.
Closing out games, whatever. It would have to close out the games. And when it closed out, the Buffalo game, it seems like so long ago, but seeing that
pick
TJ Ward, TJ Ward pick six, that's the kind of play, and those are the kinds of plays that I think we have to expect from this defense. That's what it expects from itself. You talk to TJ Ward, you talk to players on that side, that's what they think they're capable of doing every week, and they should be able to do it. And it was encouraging to see Paul Kruger and this front step up against New England. Kruger with 2 sacks, admittedly, and I appreciate his honesty. When I asked him about it the other day, he said, well, they did throw the ball 52 times. That was 52 opportunities to get to Tom Brady. But even with 52 opportunities, it's still hard to do that. He got 2 sacks, and Sheard and Mingo came in. That was a breakout game was needed.
That's the way that this defense was assembled, to get that kind of production on a weekly basis. You're not going to get 4 sacks every week in the NFL. That's very difficult to do. But to get 2 to 3 between those 3 guys, that's expected, I think, every single week. And that's how this defense is built to function.
Pressures and hits and so forth. To Mike's point about Jim Kelly, and I'm happy you asked this about this. I know Jim quite well. He remains one of my closest friends to this day. We had a chance to collaborate on a book together years ago, and spent a lot of time doing that. He, to tell you the kind of guy he is and how special he was, this is my standard for a quarterback in terms of how you look physically. This is a big, kind of thick guy who is really more like we call him the linebacker with a good arm, because that's how he was. And in high school ball, you know, he was that player. He played linebacker. Joe Paterno wanted to recruit him to Penn State to play linebacker, which is why he didn't go to Penn State, and he went down to Miami and saw the campus, saw the co-eds, and then Howard Schnellenberger says, so what do you think? You want to be my quarterback here? Yeah, he signed up for that. So, and the rest is history. But what Jim Kelly has about him, that I have not seen in many quarterbacks. I don't see it in any of the quarterbacks here, and it's not a knock against them because I think it's a rare quality that the short list
of
Jim Kelly, John Elway, Dan Marino have. But what I'm talking about, Nathan, is when he walks into a room, when he walks into a building, you know that's the quarterback. There's a presence that he has, a command, an aura, a feel that says he's the guy. And Jim is the one of the toughest human beings I know, having played any position of football. And I've been around this game and a lot of very tough players, crazy tough guys through the years, and just plain old tough guys. He's John Wayne. He's that kind of character. And to this day, and he dealt with a very tough situation, and we could relate to it because we shared this situation. But he had cancer of the jaw, the upper jaw, had surgery to remove it. So I'll tell this because Jim's very open about this. So he's got a kind of a prosthesis right now. He's got this upper for his. I want to get the. I don't know what the medical term is, but it covers his upper part of his jaw that he inserts and takes out. So you know it fills the gap that's there because surgically they removed a good chunk of his upper jaw. He's going to get a permanent one. They fit that, and it takes months to get it done. Apparently. So he's got this temporary thing that he puts in there that allows him to speak pretty clearly. You can hear a little bit that you know, a little lisp or something that comes into it when he has it. But what he loves to do, because he's such a freaking knucklehead, is he pulls this thing out and then does this hillbilly guy, because his face kind of caves in and he just goes into this whole rap. Sounding like a guy who just came from the mountains of where he's from Western PA or whatever, and just goes into this thing, and he's got it all, and his mouth is all caved in when he does it, and he's on it. You know, there's no shame in it. There's no, because you cannot embarrass Jim Kelly. He just handles that and does it his way and makes fun of it and his situation and himself. And that's him. That's Jim. He's always having fun. It's always a good time. But commander, leader, and I know what Mike's point was too. When do the Browns get this kind of guy? And I don't know if that guy's out there. I don't know in the collegiate ranks. I've got to do the eyeball test. When I go down to the Senior Bowl, I look for that guy. When I meet the quarterbacks, I make a point of trying to talk with, at least spend a little time with every quarterback prospect in every draft, either between the Senior Bowl or the Combine, because I am looking for specific qualities that I know also coaches and personnel people are too. And it's that thing. I want to see them own the space, own the room, own wherever we are talking. And I said, that's a quarterback. That's the guy who could be the next Jim Kelly, Dan Marino, Bernie Kosar. You know, that's him too. They own it. You know they're the guy. You know they're the guy. Not just because of their physical stature, size, whatever, athleticism. It's their
presence,
aura.
A magnetism.
It's a presence. It's a magnet. You know, and Nate, you're around any number of celebrities that you've dealt with and you know with and hang with and all your various connections. You know they –
There's there are
a,
people that
there's
command
a thing,
the room, and
right?
It,
they
it's
command
an
the room.
It factor.
You were at the Justin Timberlake concert last night.
He's got it. There's
Does
no
he
question.
Not have it?
Oh,
I mean, he commands it. That's a guy that everyone can enjoy because he's a guy every man wants to be and every woman wants to be with. True? Is that said? It said. Did I say it well?
I think that, yeah.
Kind of like you.
That's what they say it about
kinda
Austin
like
Powers back in the day. You know. It was a great show, though. If anybody's a Justin Timberlake fan, go to Pittsburgh and catch it out since you missed it last night. The guy gives a showman. Plays for 3 hours.
Wow.
3 hours.
And there's
no opening act. The DJ's there. Then he comes on and crushes it for 3 hours.
No, I
guy's a beast.
I chose to watch football last night, but I was thinking about you and others who were having a great time and envious. All right, hey, top of the hour, we are going to have another Browns giveaway. What's the prize today, Megan? Do we know? We have to know what the prize is. All right, we're gonna get this prize in 1 second here. Give me a second to look this up here, because we've got a prize. And okay, today's Friday, so it's Pepsi for a year supply of Pepsi. We're gonna give away. Wow,
a year's supply.
That's pretty.
Pepsi. That's intense.
Seriously,
I'm a Sunkist Orange man myself.
Yeah. Okay. So
that's
that'll
pretty
be.
Intense.
No, but yeah, Pepsi for a year.
That's awesome. Right,
so that's coming. It is.
Choice of a new generation.
That's coming up for, man, you could entertain, you know, all the parties you could have with Pepsi. That's coming up at the top of the hour. We're going to have the caller number on that
How
one.
How many two-liter bottles would you estimate is involved in winning Pepsi for a year?
I don't know, but someone's going to burp a lot, huh?
You know what I mean?
Of carbonation.
You know what I mean?
It is. I'm serious.
It is. Yeah.
Megan's laughing. I mean, that's all I'm thinking about is it's a lot of carbonation.
It is a lot of carbonation. It's true.
Okay. That's okay, but you burp with a smile.
Carbonation rich.
More is coming up. It is Call Your Shot Friday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Call us, 216-578-0850.